Would you turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Ruth? We've been this month in the book of Ruth and continue today. Ruth is about eight books in to your Bibles. Last week, as we came to the end of our study, there was a darkness that was descending. It was the darkness, the kind of darkness that dark night of the soul kind of a darkness. And in that darkness, we looked over on the horizon, and there were two women walking. By their clothing, we realized they were mourners, and they were walking to Bethlehem. One of them's name was Naomi. She was the older one. And the other was Ruth. Naomi was returning home. Ruth had never been here before. It had been 10 years since Naomi had been back here to Bethlehem. She'd been away in the land of Moab for that long. And my, what a 10 years they had been. And it showed. For the people of Bethlehem, when they saw Naomi, they said, "Could this be Naomi?" The lights had nearly gone out, Naomi concluded for her. She'd lost everything. She'd gone out full with a husband and two sons, but she said she came back empty. She had none of it. She said she had lost everything, including hope. She had no hope. And her conclusion was that the hand of the Almighty, God's hand, was against her. It was his doing. Oh, Naomi. Oh, Naomi. If you could only see that God is actually at this very moment laying for you a foundation of loving kindness that will overwhelm you. But in grief, you know how it is. We rarely see things accurately. And Naomi was convinced that all was lost, including hope. Naomi, you're returning home. You're returning to a place where there is food. You heard in the distant land of Moab that God had visited his people and brought them food. All is not lost. God has brought food, and God is the one who has brought you back. And God is the one we read at the end of the chapter, that glimpse of light that had her arrive at the beginning of the barley harvest. More than that, Naomi, God is the one who brought with you back to Bethlehem your daughter-in-law, Ruth. You think all is lost, but for all your grief, you cannot see this woman, this daughter-in-law that God has given you. God has given you, and he is laying for you a foundation of loving kindness that will overwhelm you if you will see it. For all of your grief, if you will see it. Today we come to that story of that daughter-in-law, Ruth. She's called Ruth the Moabitess. 5 times the scripture calls her that. Ruth the Moabitess. We must know where she's from. Moab, that place that God said you're never to seek the welfare of Moab. That place that tried to get the curse on Israel. That place where realistically Elimelech and Naomi had no business going. And was it sin that caused all of those? Was it God's judgment on her life? Naomi is convinced that God did it, but she's not saying, and the scripture doesn't tell us either whether it was their sin of going to Moab that brought these hardships on them. But who is this woman, this daughter-in-law, Ruth? We find her only spoken of in this book that is named for her. And one other place in Matthew. In Matthew, it's the family tree of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I read that for you briefly? This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David. He was the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And then skipping down, Nahshon was the father of
Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. You remember Rahab, right? And Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And someone has said that this genealogy, this family tree of Jesus Christ, highlights these women without footnotes, without asterisks, because he is not ashamed to have come from the people, the likes of whom we are studying this morning, Ruth. Jesus said himself, what a person is like is what flows forth from their mouth, because their mouth, out of their mouth comes what is in the heart. And he also said, you'll know what a person is like by their deeds, their actions. You'll know them by their fruits. So I suggest this morning that we look at this woman named Ruth, Ruth the Moabitess, by her words and by her actions. Shall we do that together? So I'm going to ask us to read through the scriptures of Ruth, and I'm going to ask you to be looking for indicators of Ruth's character, who she was as a person. And I'm going to have you call out different things that you see, some aspect of her character, and we'll write them down. I've asked Barb to help me with this, so you can switch that, Ed, to that other PowerPoint. But we begin in chapter 1 just briefly. We know, first of all, that Ruth is a what? She's a widow. She, like her mother-in-law, has lost her husband, and that's in verse 5. Then verse 6, Naomi decides to return home, and she and her daughters depart from where they are. And around verse 8, Naomi suddenly realizes, hey, what are you girls, my daughters-in-law, coming with me for? It's not going to be good in Israel for Moabite women, especially Moabite widows. They probably killed their husbands, they'll think, down there in Israel, that God killed your husbands because they married. You shouldn't go. Well, the both daughters-in-law resisted. And then Naomi said at it again and said, look, what are you doing coming? May the Lord grant that you find rest in the house of your husband. So she kissed them. They all wept again. But they said, no, we're going to come with you. So Naomi said it again, verse 11, return, my daughters. Why would you go with me? I don't have sons to give you. And here's where she said in verse 12, if I even said I have hope, she has no hope. Return. And verse 14, they wept again, and Orpah, the one sister-in-law, the daughter-in-law, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. What do you see in this? Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, what are you doing? Verse 15, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And look at this incredible statement, this ultimate statement of commitment that Ruth makes. Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. And I love how the King James says it. Entreat me not. Do not entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may Yahweh do to me. She invokes the name, the covenant name of God. Thus may Yahweh do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. I need your help. What aspects of character have you already seen in Ruth right now? Call them out to me. Loyalty. Devotion. Commitment. Determination. I love it. Persistent love. Very good. And here it is that we see just how tremendously Ruth has been impacted by Naomi. Everything Naomi stood for, Ruth will now stand for. Everything she believes, Ruth will believe. The God she worships, Ruth will now worship. Where she goes, I'll go. Where she stays, I'll stay. What an impact. But more than just that, Ruth has now adopted a devotion not just to what Naomi stands for and believes and is, but for Naomi herself. She's devoted to what Naomi stands for, but Ruth is also devoted to Naomi. She is saying, in effect, I am going to be with you. You're an older widow. I understand that. You have no one to take care of you, no husband and no sons. I will be the one to take care of you. And what she was saying by that is, I choose not to remarry. For the rest of my life, you are the focus of my life. And someone might have said to Ruth, yeah, but what about you? And she probably would have said, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about my mother-in-law, Naomi. That's the kind of person Ruth is turning out to be by this statement. Well, then we get to verses 20 and 21, and Naomi has returned with Ruth to Bethlehem, and they say, could this be Naomi? And she says, don't call me Naomi or pleasant, call me bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me pleasant, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? I have nothing. Don't you see? I am empty. Why do you call me pleasant? I am bitter. The Lord himself has done this. He's witnessed against me. The Almighty, the one who had the power to do differently, and I am empty. Now, if you're Ruth standing beside her as this conversation is happening and as this verse flows from her mouth that she has probably been rehearsing for some time, I have nothing, I have nothing, and you're standing next to her having made the commitment that you just made to her back in the land of Moab on the road. What are you thinking, Ruth? Does that show you anything about her character that you'd like to mention? Inability? Dependability. In spite of the fact that you've been ignored, discounted, right? Her mother-in-law basically is saying, you don't count. But Ruth stays with her, right? Unconditional love. Selflessness. In spite of, don't you think that hurt Ruth to hear those words? Let's move into chapter 2. So they came back to Bethlehem, and last verse of 22, at the beginning of barley harvest. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess, here's that title again, said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, please, let me go to the field and glean from among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. Do you see anything there about her character? Resourceful. Very good. What else? Initiative. Do you see her opening word? What was her first word in that sentence? Let, okay, in your version, another version. Says, please, respect, after you've been pretty well disrespected or discounted. Please, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. Verse 3, so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she, quote, unquote, happened. There aren't quotes there, but it's like he meant for there to be, right? She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. More on that later, right? Who was of the family of Elimelech, her father-in-law. Now behold, Boaz, the owner of that field, came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And this is what she said. She said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. What else do you see about Naomi there? The one in charge of the reapers, by his own lips, what does he say? Patient. How is she patient? Okay, so she's following along behind the reapers. All right, patient. What else? Pardon? Diligent. Okay, diligent. She's been working from the morning until now. Hard worker. What else? Humble. How is she humble, Gail? I mean, I agree with you. I'm just... Please let me glean. Is that what you're thinking? This humility of response, you know? Actually, the Bible had made this a requirement that the harvesters were to allow people, the poor people, to come and glean. What is gleaning? Can you flip me back to the other projector, Ed, for just a moment? Gleaning happens like this. You have the reapers who are coming along with their sickles in this field of wheat or barley or whatever, and they come along and they cut it down, and then they stack it, and I believe they stack it so that it will dry, and they can keep working with the whole harvest to get it cut while it's ripe. And then you see the field that is left, well, there's going to be stalks that are fallen down and didn't make it into the bundles. Not too many, mind you, because this is good stuff. We want to keep all of it, but there's going to be, in the course of reaping, some that fall down. And so this artist has depicted a gleaner such as this. They're going along looking for the pieces that have fallen down, and you can see if this happens to be somebody that they thought was Ruth. She's got a few in her hand, a few stuck in her waist there, too. And she's going around looking for those stalks that didn't make it into those big bales. And that's what gleaning is. Gleaning means, is a nice way to say, getting the leftovers, getting what didn't make it to the reaper's bundles. So she had a right, now we can switch back, Ed, she had a right to glean. God had provided for that. In his people's society, he had provided that there would be this. He said, you're not to reap all the way to the corners, and you're not, if you forget a sheaf, a standing sheaf, you're not to go back and get it, it shall be for the poor. God had provided for this. So she had a right, but she said, please let me glean among the reapers. Very humble, very polite. What else do you see? Anything? Or shall we go on? All right, let's keep going. Verse 8, so then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Verse 10, something more of her character. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? What do you see there? Gratitude. What else? Anything? Again, humility, underscoring that multiple times. What else?
Amazement.
Amazement. Boaz answered and said to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. What do you learn about Ruth from the lips of Boaz? The word has gotten out. They say Bethlehem was probably a town, a village of about 200 people. So a newcomer, Naomi returning, and a daughter-in-law from Moab, that kind of news went in a flash, don't you think? And Boaz has heard. Apparently he hasn't met her yet. Who's this woman? Oh, that's Naomi. She says, "Why have I found favor?" And he says, "All that you have done has been reported to me." What do you see about Naomi, or Ruth, in this? Anything?
Courageous.
Courageous. How is she courageous, Bob?
Brave enough to leave her country and go home, but we know nothing about.
Yeah, very good. What else?
Left
her parents as well.
Uh-huh.
Chose the unknowns. Okay, great. Anything else? Her faith?
Faithful.
And her faith. Under whose wings, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have... So something of Naomi's impact on Ruth is not just about being a nice daughter-in-law, but there's this seeking shelter under the wings of the God of Israel. This has impacted Naomi. Well, I'm afraid, Barb, you're running out of space, aren't you there? Okay, what else? Let's keep going. You interrupt me if you need to. Then she said again, "I have found favor," verse 13, "in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, even though I'm not one of your maidservants." Anything else you want to add? Or more of the same?
Blessed by God.
Say that? She realizes it's God's blessing. Good. What else? At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. So whatever he served her, she ate, had some of that left over, and apparently she kept it. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. You let her get right up there where you're cutting, and do not insult or rebuke her." So she gleaned, and in fact, verse 16, "You shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Now somebody said she was hardworking. Underscore that, right? Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Does anybody use ephahs in here? It's a lot. How much, you know? Oh, a fifth of a bushel. That clarifies it for me. Well, I looked it up because I'm not up on any of those things. But apparently it was somewhere between 30 to 50 pounds of grain that was left after she beat out what she had taken. So her arms must have been carrying a whole bunch of this stuff so that when she beat it out, she was left with 30 to 50 pounds. Guess what? The wage of a worker for a month would have been this much, 30 to 50 pounds is what I read. So she shows up with 30 to 50 pounds, and she's gathered that much, and now she's beat it out, and she's pulled all that together. Yeah, I'd say she's a hard worker, wouldn't you? So she gleaned in the field till evening, and verse 18, she took it up and went into the city. I'd say she's strong, too. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also took She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Back to lunchtime, she took out what she had stashed away that Boaz had given her. She ate and was satisfied, and had some left over. She kept that, and she gets home now to Ruth. Ruth gets home now to Naomi, and she takes out that she had left and gives it. Boy, got room for one more. It looks like. What do you want to put that? Selfless, generous, kind. Anything else? Is generosity up there already? Her mother-in-law, verse 19, then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess, there's that title again. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Now the barley harvest happened in April, mid to early April, and the wheat harvest usually was concluded sometime in June. So what does that tell you? She stayed with them through the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. Now, I don't know if she got 30 to 50 pounds every day, but she was really strong at the end of that summer, don't you think? And they had provision for some good time, didn't they, with that? So what do you make of this woman, Ruth?
Obedient.
Very good. Do you realize that we have not one word anywhere in Scripture about Ruth's physical appearance? There's nothing about her eyes. There's nothing about her hair. And yet artists routinely depict her as an attractive, beautiful woman. Why is that? Okay, so Boaz let us in on that fact, all right? I dare say that the image that you and I both have right now of Ruth, whoever she is one of an attractive woman. Why is that? Whenever you see these kinds of characteristics about a person, we unhesitatingly call that person beautiful, don't we? In fact, these kinds of characteristics seem to beautify a woman who might not have been graced with such natural beauty, physical beauty. And when these things are lacking, it doesn't matter how much physical beauty there is. It's like, what does that proverb say? A ring in a sow's nose or something like that? Do you realize that it was this kind of a beautiful character and person that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to want her to be his great, 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 great grandmother? Ruth the Moabitess. The Moabitess. And how did this come to pass? And the question is before us. There are several questions. One is, who would be like her? Who would allow, and I believe Naomi mentored Ruth, but who would allow Ruth to mentor them this morning and beyond? And men, I have to ask, which of these are gender specific? Who will allow Naomi to witness, to speak into their life this morning? And then another question, who will help shape? Who will mentor? Who will influence? Who will impact the Ruths of the next generation? I took a little thing upon myself this week to look through our directory at all the people in our church and say, who could do for a person like Naomi did for Ruth? And I had this nice, healthy list. Wow, beautiful. Men and women. And yet, the busyness of life and careers and obligations and a lot of things tend to make it where either we're not looking for those people or we're a bit too busy. And I actually know of some young ladies asking, and as I went down that list, well, this one probably wouldn't be able to. No, this one's told. Is there a daughter, a granddaughter, a niece perhaps, some lady that you will mentor? You never know what kind of influence you'll have on someone, do you? My wife took to my mother before her passing like Ruth took to Naomi, and it was absolutely beautiful. My mother was impacting Barb in ways that I never could have imagined. It ended up coming full circle because then Barb had the opportunity in Mom's remaining months of her life to do for my mom what Ruth pledged to do for Naomi in her final years. You know, what prompted that kind of a relationship? Who initiated it? Well, it was my mother. And she's the one who probably swallowed hard a few times when Barb didn't do for her son like she wanted. I don't know. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? Many a mother has no room for a daughter-in-law who doesn't get it all right. But my mom made that great investment. She chose her words wisely. She refrained from speaking often, I'm sure. She encouraged wherever she could. She built up. She didn't tear down. Almost certainly there's somewhere in your life a Ruth that you could impact. First of all, you can be a Ruth, and you can drink in from somebody, and you can model from Ruth. And secondly, who would you want to impact? And men, this isn't just for the ladies. Who in your life, what person in your life needs the encouragement to become a Ruth? Will you encourage your wife or your sister or your daughters or your nieces or granddaughters to walk in Ruth's ways? And you know what, guys? This is not encouragement to become a Ruth. You know, Ruth wouldn't have done it that way. We got to do better, right? We need to affirm in them the things that they do well so that they rise to the occasion to become Ruths, not harp on the things where they missed the mark. But back to this list of qualities in Ruth. Oh, Naomi, I want to say, oh, Naomi, you think that it's so dark, the dark night of your soul, the lights have gone out, you've lost everything, hope included, but if you could only see in Ruth, that God is laying for you a foundation of loving kindness that will overwhelm you. Overwhelm you. And if you could only know what I'm going to do, the Lord might have said, with Ruth. And how I'm going to affect this loving kindness. I want you to think on that word, loving kindness, in the next week. I want you to try to trace that theme of loving kindness through the book of Ruth. Will you do that? The word is found three times. It's a little obscure to find in our English versions. But I think the word is there, and I think there's a whole lot more than just three occurrences of the word. Would you read again the book of Ruth and try to discern what it is God wants to say about this loving kindness? We'll have to take that up more next week. But Naomi, if you could only see that God is laying for you a foundation of loving kindness that will overwhelm you. And one of the ways he's doing it is this through this daughter-in-law, Naomi. Let's stand together, shall we?